We're going to the game.
You know what? I don't want to play defense. Are you kidding me?
What? Game noon.
What the hell's going on? You're playing it safe.
I'm brick.
It's amazing. No way in hell I'm touching it. Are you kidding? That was really fun.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Anomaly. I'm your host, Adrian Tadzaniga. I'm joined live by Nathan Kaywood.
Hello.
An actor, a director, a super talent, an improv wizard. Nate, how would you even describe yourself if that bio stands, but can you tell the audience something about you that is legitimate?
Yeah, sure. I would say I'm the broke man's Ronald McDonald, I feel like. I'm a very tall, redheaded man, pale, pasty skin, and usually children run away from me. So
that feels right. Like, if you're talking bios and somebody's like, yeah, I've done stuff. Here's probably your greatest claim to fame for this audience. There's the Jerome Bettis commercial.
Yeah, Geico.
A Geico commercial with Jerome Bettis, and you are the goofy-looking poor man's Ronald McDonald. That was casting sheet.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said, hey, we're looking for a poor man's Ronald McDonald. Who should it be? And everybody was like, Nate, obviously.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So you met Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, we did the commercial together. He's a very sweet man.
He's a very sweet man. Did he forearm shiver you or stiff arm you or wrestle you to the ground and kick
no,
you?
He did none of those things to me. I was very fortunate in the commercial that I was the one handing him the football. My job was to say a bunch of stuff about, you know, something about how great Geico is. And it's as easy as having Jerome Bettis on your flag football team. So then I hand off the football to him. And then he destroys a bunch of people, which is really great. So I didn't have to do that. However, I will say that I did get to do touchdown celebration dances and chest bumps with Jerome Bettis. And let me tell you, that man is still, to this day, built like, man, marble wrapped in concrete.
He literally is the bus. He maintains
it's unbelievable.
The bus.
Oh, by the way, he told me to call him. He told me to say, you know, my friends, when they get me going in football, they're like, go get her, Bussy. And I was I was like, wow, the bus just told me to call him Bussy.
That's
great. I
was
like, wow, I don't even know what to do. It was great. He was giving me pitches about what to say in between each hike. He was like, here, try something like this. I was like, all right, great.
Oh, man.
Now, I don't have to sweat it that much. Then I can just be like, here, football specific.
This is great. Did you, Bussy, that's a very Australian thing, you know, like throw a Y on everything. You've done other commercials that are sports related too, right? You did a poker one, I believe.
A poker commercial?
Did you do a poker? I thought the one I saw in London on TV that I was excited about, but was just illegally streaming an American football game or something. But I can't remember what it was. I don't know. I thought you did another sports one.
You mean with another sports celebrity?
Or sports brand, or, you know, just a dumb brand that had a sports bent?
Man, that's a great question. I'm trying to think. I've been so fortunate over the last, 10 years of surviving as a commercial actor in Los Angeles that it's like, I did an AT&T. Like, sometimes people would be like, oh, you were in that one commercial, right? And I was like, oh yeah, I did do that. Cause sometimes you just shoot the spot and it takes a very long time for them to come out, right? I shot a commercial before COVID for an unnamed petrol company that has not aired yet. And I think that they still plan on doing it, but I guess marketing has changed since there's a global pandemic going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. Okay, so
okay,
the
sorry.
Reason
That's
you're
enough
on this
about
podcast.
Me.
Yeah, enough about you. No, I'm kidding. But the reason I have you on is you're a huge soccer fan. This is going to be a vaguely soccer-themed episode.
Love it.
FIFA 21 hasn't gotten around to announcing their new features
again,
yet.
What's the deal? Marketing. It's the slowdown. What's up with it?
Yeah, what are we waiting for?
Actually, don't they normally do that sort of release in August, September?
Yeah, but I wanted to have you on because it sounds fun to me. So,
yeah, great. I like being here, so let's do it.
And also because soccer is back, that's the one sport that exists right now.
What a dream. Yeah. Can I tell you that when Premier League, now I know that there are a bunch of leagues that have returned, but Premier League is my league. So when Premier League returned in mid-June, I think June 15th or 18th or something like that, like, man, I just couch potatoed for like eight games straight. I was like, I don't need to move.
I was just 8 feet away from you eating some food recently, and we were talking about how the premiership has been a real... I mean, you used the couch potato with it, and you've maintained a couch potato-ness. But we'll get to that. Let's start off the show with what we love this week. I'm going to start off my love of the week with the Tennis World Tour 2 trailer. Not at all a tongue twist. Trist, I can't say it. Tennis World Tour 2 trailer. You say it, Nate.
Give it to me again.
Tennis World Tour 2 trailer.
Tennis World 2 Tour trailer.
Nope. Tennis World Tour 2 trailer.
Tennis World Tour 2 trailer.
Tongue twister.
Tongue twister.
That's
Tennis
fine.
World Tour 2 trailer tongue twister.
Man, that's why you get booked for commercials and I don't. I'm the guy when I used to audition for commercials who would literally just like turn his head and get a look on his face like there was a smell in the room. Mm-hmm. I would just show up. I'd do that for 5 seconds. They'd go, great, thanks. And then, you know.
Hey, in fairness, Adrian, that's where I started too. You got to be the guy that can look over an office cubicle and be like, huh?
Yeah.
That's guy I was there.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So that's my first love. I have a 1B love that I'm going to throw out there this week.
Oh, wow. Sounds like two loves.
Yeah, there's two loves. It's a real polyamory going on. But that trailer, I love tennis. I love Gael Monfils. I've been to Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, and the French Open. I love it. I'm excited about this trailer. It's just a tennis game. I downloaded AO Tennis 2 today because it was on sale for $26.99, which doesn't feel like that much of a sale. But I got that. So I'm
that feels like a good deal.
I would have liked to have paid $12.99. That's where I was at.
Where are you getting it? On the used shelf at Best Buy?
Not even the used shelf. I literally want to find it next to a garbage can where it flew out because the garbage truck was too aggressive with a can. Yeah. That's my
You got to wait a couple years.
Yeah. The other thing I would love, and I think you'll appreciate this, I love people watching soccer matches at home. You know how they do like the fan cam and it's like 12 people? Oh my God. People in their closet, people pumping their fists, and it's always a little bit delayed. It just cracks me up every time. I just love it. So I'm a very big fan of the fist pump.
I'm a big fan of the fist pump too.
Okay. What's your love of the week?
Well, so
we'll get to that. I want to talk more about this fan camp thing, I want your love first, and then we're going to circle back to it.
Okay, wait. So my question is, you said that it's the love of the week, right? Like I've been enjoying the love of. I am a supporter of the football club Liverpool, which is hometown is from Liverpool, England, which I know is confusing. But they won the Premier League this year, which is the first time in the history of the Premier League that the team has won. Now, that does make them sound worse than they are, which is that they won like 17 or 18 previous titles, but they didn't create the Premier League, which is like the best of the best in England, until 1992. So there's a 100 years of English soccer, football, sorry, that they would have been playing in that did not count in the Premier League. Either way, it's been 30 years since they won a league, and we did it. We finally. This is what I love. This is the big love, and it's big enough love to take over a couple weeks, so it counts.
It's amazing. I mean, to give a sense, we were in Thailand over New Year's, and we found
You just made it sound super bougie. Like, hey, by the way, we're talking about fan cams. Oh, yeah, and then we were in Thailand together recently. It was before it was dangerous to travel, everybody.
Right, and it was also, bougie in that we rented scooters for like $5 a day, and all I feared was
I think that anybody that has had the privilege of being to Thailand would understand that it may be less glamorous than one has stated it to be. But
that's true.
And it's a beautiful country, not to underplay it. Please go to Thailand.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
Hosted by Thailand Visitor Center.
Well, we were driving on these scooters, and we passed what looked like a Shoney's Big Boy, but it was a Liverpool-themed bar that was playing the games, playing the soccer matches, and you pulled over, and this dude had jerseys up, and mm-hmm. you tried to buy one, and the guy's like, I just don't sell them. And
yeah, he told him that they were for raffles. He was like, we only raffle them off during games.
Yeah. And then you were like, man, I'm from LA, we're in Thailand, there's never going to be a pandemic, like the world is going to be great from this moment.
Yeah, everything is right in the world.
Yeah, you might have caused the pandemic by your arrogant behavior. forcing that guy to
forcing him to sell me a jersey. Yeah,
yeah, it's yeah. crazy. But it was just funny because he ended up selling you, and what jersey did you buy?
A Minamino jersey. So we had just acquired this. It sounds weird, acquiring a player. Doesn't it sound like very? Ooh.
It sounds anyway, not terrible.
Yeah. This gentleman signed for Liverpool in January. I don't know if the fans understand how at least European Soccer League works. Is there are two transfer windows, which are moments in time in each given season, where you can bring in new players legally. And during that time, during that January transfer window, we got a new player named Taki Minamino from Japan, and he was the first Japanese player on Liverpool, and we're all very excited. And this gentleman had his jersey. It was the first jersey that I had seen of his, and I was like, I would very much like to have that. And he did sell it to me under a bit of duress, but yeah.
Yeah, he was so nice about it in the end, but I just thought it was hilarious that we pulled off just finding a Liverpool themed place in the middle of Thailand,
on a remote island in rural, Well, I think it goes to show that it's just like, I think it goes to show the marketability and the street, the stretch and almost the ubiquity that the English Premier League has, right? La Liga, the Spanish league, Barcelona, Real Madrid, everybody knows them, right? The Bundesliga, the German league, everybody knows Bayern Munich for the most part, right? Some people know Borussia Dortmund, depending on how much you like soccer or if you've lived in Europe. And like that's it, right? And then everybody else is like England. It's like Manchester United, Liverpool.
Yeah,
a lot of people. Okay, I guess London is like a town, and people like it. So I guess we should bring up Chelsea and Arsenal and Tottenham and then West Ham and then Crystal Palace and QPR and whoever else lives in London. Jeez, so many teams.
So many teams. Too many. I can't believe Crystal Palace has the name they do, and doesn't have a decent team. Seems like.
Well, I mean, how long do you want this podcast to be? Because I was like, we could discuss. I mean, they do have a decent team. It just sort of depends on their tactics of whoever their manager is at this time. They've had like sort of a pretty difficult run with managers over the last couple of years. And those managers have been sort of ruthlessly focused on doing something in soccer, which is called like playing the low block, so that you're sort of just playing defense and trying to hit people on the counterattack or in a set piece play, because you have big ogre-ish center backs that can just blast headers from corners in, and that's how you try and nip a point off of people, and it works sometimes.
Yeah, but here's my point is okay. Those I'm trying to bring it back around to like the fact that their fans on the fan cam just aren't as passionate as, say, the Liverpool fan
cam.
No,
how could they be? How could they be? Liverpool's winning the Premier League for the first time in 30 years, and Crystal Palace is like, boy, we're just passing relegation for the 50th year in a row. Like, no, they can't be as excited. They're just like, great, we got another year in the Premier League. Maybe I'll be able to take my toddler to the game once COVID passes, you know?
Yeah, they're like holding up their scarf, but a little more blandly. And waving it.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I feel like Crystal Palace, like, if you're a Crystal Palace supporter, I feel like it's because you were born in the area of London that creates Crystal Palace fans, right? Like, the thing is, like, that's the way that London works a lot of times, like, where you're born, where you're raised, or, like, maybe where your dad is from. Unless, you know, I mean, of course, your mother could be also a fervent football fan, too. But, like, frequently, if, like, you're a, you know, a football fan, you're like, at least from the people that I know from England. Wait, you lived in England for a little while, right? 5 years or something?
Yeah, on and off.
I mean, I guess you could speak more about your experience. You lived there. I just talk to a lot of people about football, so.
Right, fair enough. You're just on podcasts talking about it. All right, moving on to our hate of
the
week.
Oh, man. Yeah, sorry, you go ahead first. This is your podcast.
I mean, you can bring it back around. You can do a Dakota from last week and just keep pulling us back into the segment before. So, okay. Here's my hate for the week. Imported crowd noise during live soccer matches.
Agreed.
It's the worst. I hate it because it also tells me, like, the chances of us living in a simulation are 65%, and I don't need it. Like, I would rather just sort of, like, quietly exist. I'll watch games sometimes where I'm, like, doing exercises in the morning because they're on earlier. And so all it is like, a low din of, like, it's just weird. And, like, what? Why do I need to be lied to like that? You're
right,
on board with that?
But also, the thing that's interesting is, like, you can actually, if you listen closely, if you listen to the volume up loudly, the enhanced audio is recorded from previous football matches, right? And they actually, somebody has to be playing these sound effects because there are moments where there's like a penalty kick will be given and then the home team crowd would normally go like, ah, rah, 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 that's terrible, that's terrible, that's the away, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they, somebody must be clicking a, like, oh, the home crowd is mad button because it does that. It replicates that sort of sound. And I was like, what's happening? It is wild to think that somebody is playing a crowd.
That is wild. Literally, they've got like a Casio SK1 and all the keys are labeled angry home crowd, relieved home crowd. Like when they think it's going to be a penalty, it's not. Like, it's hilarious. All right, what's your hate of the week?
Wait, hold on. I have to say something, and I hope this doesn't sound too, again, I hope this doesn't sound too like, oh, look at us type thing. Yeah, it will be, right? But okay, so here's a quick story that I think is interesting that pertains to this. I one time had the privilege of getting a very, very small part in a CBS pilot. There was a multicam pilot, which is like multicam pilots, for those who are unaware, are shows like The Big Bang Theory or How I Met Your Mother. It's where there is usually a live studio audience in the studio with you and you do jokes and then the crowds laugh and then you continue on doing your lines, right? So I was able to do that, and I went on set, except for this pilot was produced by the people who, and I don't know if I can say this, but the people who did How I Met Your Mother, and they never did anything in front of a live studio audience. They had one guy that had recorded samples of hundreds, if not thousands, of recordings of live studio audiences, and he would literally play it on a keyboard.
Oh my God, the gesture you just made, because I'm looking at you through Skype while we talk, was like a hockey keyboardist, you know, the organist, like, dun, 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 but a guy who's just playing. That's amazing. How ridiculous.
I mean, they do it all in post. Like, I wasn't actually on set and the guy wasn't like, well, I'm going to just hit the ha, 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 ha. It was like, I just asked the producer, I was like, oh, there's no audience? And they're like, oh, yeah, we have a guy that's recorded a bunch of stuff. He does it in post. He just plays it on a keyboard. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Interesting.
That's so ridiculous. All anyway, right, what's your hate of the week?
Okay, so this is just a biased football fan. My hate of the week is, so there was Manchester City, the UEFA, which is the governing body of all of European football, tried to ban a team from the Premier League, Manchester City, from participating in the European trophy, the Champions League, because they had apparently cooked their books in this financial fair play rule, which is sort of it's supposed to be like a great equalizer, right? So because part of the problem is that countries like the UA or the United Arab Emirates or Qatar, I think, are those the same place? I don't know.
No.
Okay, great. I thought they were, and then I was like, oh, am I saying the same thing? I was like, no, they're definitely two different places. And like also like the Saudi royal family, like these large oil rich nations invest into European football clubs, and can sink millions and literally billions of dollars into it, sort of completely passing the idea of just like working hard to build a team. If you could just buy one. And so the governing body of Europe, UEFA, tried to slap Manchester City on the right on the wrist, and the Court of Arbitrations overturned the ruling. And so Manchester City, who has cooked their books, allegedly cooked their books for 5 or 6 years, will suffer no consequence. They were fined 11 million euros, which they've spent 5 billion euros on this team. They're like 11 million. Okay, whatever. Who cares?
Finally, in a bit, at the end, a little passion, because it took about 17 minutes for you to tell that boring hate, and then you finally, at the end, you caught a little fire, and then you were mad at him. Well, and you should have been.
Look, I know, no, it's sort of, well, the thing is, like, I'm trying to be balanced about it because I don't want to be a petulant child being like, oh, man, like, the team that's, like, the best team fighting against my team got, like, a really big win and they're, like, super rich and they can, like, do it. They're the Yankees. They're the Yankees of English football. And it's annoying because they can just buy whoever they want.
Yeah, I started reading the story earlier about that, and then I just sort of zoned out. So it's not your fault. It's not that you were boring. It's just that that story bores me, because I also agree that they should have gotten dinged a lot harder. Emphasis on the word ding. Okay.
Yeah, well, sorry, go ahead. It doesn't
matter. No, please.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like a bit, it's like totally BS, because the idea is that this sheik who owns Man City also owns Etihad Airways, right? Which is the lead sponsor of the team. So at the end of the season, to meet financial fair play, your sponsorship has to be to a certain point of your spending. You can't outspend what your sponsorship is. So if the owner of your company also owns the company of your sponsorship, the sponsor can give you as much money as they want to balance your books.
That
should be illegal.
Shady. Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
No, that's what they did. So that's why it's like, okay, well, that's cheating.
Yeah,
you own both companies. You're like, okay.
Yeah, that's not great. All right, we're going to move on to... Breaking news brought to you by Perfect Tommy. Okay, now the Washington football team has announced that they're going to change their name. I could not be thrilled, so we're going to do a quick 16. Well,
wait. You cannot be more thrilled, right?
I don't. I'm ecstatic. I don't know.
Okay,
which
great. Yeah,
one
yeah.
I
you
said
that you could not be thrilled. I just wanted everybody to know.
Oh.
You could not be more thrilled. You are ecstatic. You are very pleased that the Washington team has decided to leave this horrendously egregious name behind them. Okay, great.
Yeah, I've talked about it for about an hour and a half each podcast. But you're right. For those just tuning in for the first time, and we welcome the thousand of you. So what I wanted to do here is I listed the 17 most likely names. So we're going to do a competition in which we pit them against one another. We're going to alternate who picks, and then we're going to figure out what the Washington football team should be called.
Great.
Here we go. You're going to get the play-in round to start. It's 16 versus 17. The Monuments versus the Arlingtons.
I like the Monuments.
Okay, we're sticking with the Monuments. Okay, now I'm going to go to the... I'm going to take the 8-9 matchup. It's the Lincolns versus the Americans. The Americans is dumb. I'm getting rid of the Americans. Nate, you're up, and it's the Red Wolves versus the Roosevelts.
I'm sorry, the Red Wolves?
Red Wolves versus the Roosevelts.
I don't know what a Red Wolf is, so I'm going to go with Roosevelt. Is Red Wolf a native animal, indigenous animal of the area of D.C.?
Nobody knows anything
okay,
about
Roosevelt's.
Anything. But I'm just telling you what I know, which is very little. You're getting used to this podcast already. So you're taking the Roosevelts. Now it's number 3 versus number 14. The Red Hawks against the Jeffersons. I mean, Jeffersons brings back the TV show idea. I'm taking the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, hey, really quickly, before we get too far into this, I mean, like, the Jeffersons is problematic in and of itself. Is like sort of a slave-owning president who did some terrible things to his slaves, as well as Teddy Roosevelt, who's like a huge proponent of the eugenics. But let's keep going.
Yeah, yeah. There's some real negatives as you go down this list. Okay, I'm going to give you the 4 versus the 13 matchup. It's the Hogs or the Red Hogs versus the Veterans.
Man. Okay, Veterans.
Oh, he's taking the Veterans. I mean, that Red Hogs is the one thing that they actually had that had any relevancy. But I mean, it's weird.
Right. But I personally, it's just why red? Like, it sort of feels to me like a really dumb, lame way to still have your cake and eat it too. Is like a just racist.
Yeah.
To be like, but it's Red Hogs.
Yeah.
Instead of just like let it go, guys. Just let it be Hogs.
I agree. Number 5 seed, the Warriors versus the 12 seed Capitals. That comes to me. Washington Capitals, There's already a Washington Capitals.
But stop for a second. We have to actually remember the way that franchising used to work between sports, right? Because the St. Louis Cardinals used to be a football team in St. Louis, right? St. Louis Cardinals is also a baseball team, and then the Cardinals went to Arizona, right? It's just like the Kings used to be wasn't the Kings the hockey team originally from Kansas City, where they have the Kansas City Royals?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. This is interesting. Now, this is plus 600 in Vegas for Capitals, but this Capitals would be with an O, whereas the Washington Capitals are with an A.
No. Wait. That's stupid. Because isn't A the actual building? Isn't O the idea of the letter? You capitalize a letter?
Yeah.
So, like, it's a verb, right?
Well, hold
capital
on.
Letter? No, that I would be an adjective.
We're going to the dictionary. This is the first time in the history of sports.
No, I think that's important.
Going to a dictionary.
I think
so. Capital
important.
With A is first city, most important city, seat of government, center of administration, metropolis, or a verb, as you've said, it's an adjective, which is an uppercase, or an uncule, or a majuscule, which is probably really what you were thinking. And then a capital with an O is, wait, I'm in. Hold on. Capital with an O is literally the U.S. Congress in Washington, D.C. It's the seat of it, or the Temple of Jupiter on the Capitoline Hill in ancient Rome, which is probably what else you were thinking, where, again, yeah, capital is the most important city or town of a country or region. So it would work. That's weird, right?
I hear the argument for both. I just personally think the O seems dumb because you've already got a team with the A. So just keep it together.
And I'm going to hold on to the Warriors, but I will say that I have absolutely no trust that that anybody in the Washington football team organization can be trusted with the term Warriors without making it like horrifically racist.
Yeah, of course they will.
But I'm still doing it. So number 6 versus number 11, it's the Presidents versus the Memorials.
Okay, Memorials. Am I already back to doing Memorials again? It doesn't even seem like a great name, Memorials. Let's do it.
It doesn't seem like a great name, but you've already forgotten that that's not what you originally picked. You picked the Monuments over the Arlingtons, which is the easiest of all the slam dunks. Okay, let's see. We've got now it's the 7 versus the 10. It's the Generals versus the Kings. Why in any way, shape, or form would we go with Kings in America? I'm not saying Generals is any good. I'm just saying the Kings is obviously, that should be the 16 seed.
Kings is terrible, right? There's Kings already a hockey terrible. Team and it's in LA, right? Like, yeah. I don't understand why you would be branding yourself to a completely other sports that, and by the way, they've been around for a really long time. Bad branding idea. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's terrible. Wait, how did the Jeffersons survive? Oh, they beat out the Red Turds or something.
Right, wow. Exactly, the Red Turds. It was like the lowest bar of all time to get over.
It's amazing. All right, now the final one I'm going to have you do. It's the Red Tails versus the Monuments. Do you know the history of the Red Tails, by the way?
Wait, are we talking about the actual bird, the Red Tail?
I'm talking about the World War II.
The
Black
unit
fighter,
in World War II, the plane unit. There's all African American. Okay. Yeah.
Or Monuments.
Man, that's. Well, so I guess the question is, so is the iconography or the symbolism that is involved with the sports branding going with the unit, the Air Force unit, if we go with Red Tails?
I mean, we can't. I feel like we should take this out of the Washington football team ownership's hands, and we just have to decide on our own because I don't trust them to do anything right.
I mean, if I'm being totally honest, like, I do like the Monuments. I feel like the Monuments works pretty well as like an actual just football team name.
Are you taking it over the Red Tails?
Well, you're making it seem like I'm being like.
I'm just asking. I'm just confirming because it would be a 16-1 upset. This is
Red Tails is that. I mean, I like Red Tails. I think we should go with it.
No, you want to go with Monuments. You said Monuments. We're going with Monuments. It's an extraordinary upset.
Fine.
Unbelievable.
You're
now
pressuring.
Now we reseed 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, we've got enough teams. Okay, now it's to me, it's Warriors versus Monuments, the 5 seed versus the 16. I mean, the Monuments are on fire. You can't touch them. I think it's a terrible name, but you can't beat them right now. They're red hot. They've got a left-handed shooter, you know, from half court to beat the Warriors. So, Bonyans have taken the Warriors. Now you get Generals versus the Roosevelts.
Generals. It's got to be the Generals. We got to get the Roosevelts out of there. Come on. Teddy is a problem.
Teddy's not nearly the problem that these other guys are.
Well, no, don't worry. The Generals are going to fall. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, do not fret. Generals have now advanced, and now I'm taking the Lincolns versus the Jeffersons. This is pretty easy. I'm not a big fan of look,
we're moving Jefferson on up.
I mean, that's the one thing that I, you know what? Now that you've said that, before the final shot was taken, if Jeffersons, you know what? Because I said it earlier, we're doing the branding. I'm taking the Jeffersons. And
okay,
it's because it's the Jeffersons TV show.
You guys have this podcast has the rights for me to sing the Jeffersons theme song.
Oh,
obviously,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. We got that taken care of before you hopped on. So it's over to you. It's the Memorials versus the Veterans.
Oh man. Okay, Veterans. Memorials is a dour. It's like that's sad.
It's the same thing as monuments. This is
no,
hilarious.
It's not. No, it's not.
Right,
monuments
right.
And memorials are two different things. A monument is like, we don't have to talk about it. But they are different, Adrian.
They are different. Now, this is taken, as everything on this podcast, taken longer than I wanted, but I kind of love it because our own absurdity has taken charge. It's the Generals versus the Monuments. Can the Monuments get all the way to the finals? Let's find out. Nate, it's on you. Generals?
I think Monuments is better than Generals. Generals is problematic in and of itself.
Oh, man. And now that leaves me with Veterans versus the Jeffersons. Wheezy, you're going to the finals. It's Jeffersons versus the Monuments. Nate, it's your turn. What's
gotta
it going to
go
be?
With the Monuments over the Jeffersons.
Washington Monuments over the Red Hot. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. The 16th seed has done it here. It's the Washington Monuments. There's nothing controversial about monuments going on in America right now. So have advanced. What is the logo in your mind of the
really
Washington
quickly,
Monuments?
I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can hear my dog is having a nightmare in the background right now. He's sleeping like... Oh, no. He woke up. Okay. I might need to let him out. I'm sorry. What were you saying about the monuments?
What's the logo? I knew what the Jeffersons logo was going to be the dad and Wheezy from the TV show The Jeffersons. I can't remember the dad's name at this second, but I'm looking it up. What is the monuments logo?
An obelisk. Just have it be an obelisk. Just like George Washington Monument. It's just, you know.
I love it. I love that the 16 seed, although it's better than the Arlingtons, but I think it's
the second worst
on that.
Can I ask you a question about what is the – I know that the Arlington is a city that is close to D.C., but is also a famed burial ground for military service members.
Yeah.
Arlington Cemetery. But beyond those two things, is Arlington mean something that we don't know?
It means that it's not. They're not going to be the Washington Arlingtons. That's weird. That would be like calling a team the St. Louis Kansas Cities, right? Like,
yeah, or the St. Louis Eat St. Louists. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's what it would be like. Or it would be like the St. Louis St. Joes.
It'd be like the Minneapolis St. Paul's.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
St. Paul's Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would take that long, but now we're going to move on to cover athletes. In NBA 2K21, they've been announced. Damian Lillard, Zion Williamson, and Kobe Bryant. They're going to be two Kobe Bryant ones. So
that makes sense.
I just thought that would be fun. What do you feel about Dame Lillard? What do you think about Dame Lillard going by Dame Lillard instead of Damian Lillard?
Here's the deal. I have no opinion. I know nothing about Mr. Lillard.
What about you going by, instead of Nate Kaywood or Nathan Kaywood, going by Nath Kaywood?
Nath. Bold.
It is bold.
Well, I think it's sort of, that's where it ends. Bold. Period. Next.
Okay, now we're going to do a quick interview with you, which I keep doing after the fact. This should come at the top of the show. But I decided to bring you on just for the final segment. But then I was like, no, we got to do this Washington football team. The Washington Monuments, you just never saw it coming.
Wait, what was the number one seed? I'm sorry to Dakota this, but what was
the
number?
The Red Tails.
The Red Tails was the number one seed.
Yeah, I think that's the best because it has some military aspect. It has the history aspect. It has not racism aspect. It has...
Yes. Okay, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with the fact that you coached the Monuments all the way to the championship.
Look, I was down with either of them, and then you forced my hand because I had said it first, which is interesting because you had like that old school test mentality. Whatever the first thing that you say has to be right, which is totally wrong.
I just love that the Jeffersons got as far as they did, considering Thomas Jefferson's
issues.
Well,
we weren't talking about Thomas.
No,
we were talking about
explicitly talking about the TV show.
Yeah. Okay. Also, yep. Sorry. Keep going.
Go ahead.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't want to turn into Dakota 2.0. Let's keep going here. Come on.
All right, the interview segment. So we're going to play Pokemon Go Battles with Sports with each person I have on. I asked them to pick three athletes from three different sports. So what would your Pokemon Go Battle team be if you had to pick three athletes from three different sports?
What does Pokemon Go Battle mean? Like just the best of what is my...
Like I would pick three athletes.
Yeah, give me
the
example. Do it.
Like I'd be like Brett Hull, Allen Iverson, and Gail Monfils, and then my three athletes would play your three athletes. But it doesn't have anything to do with competing against mine. In your case, it's literally because I didn't pick those officially. That's not a doesn't have a trademark on it. So, what three athletes would you pick to represent your team?
Okay, Steven Gerrard, who a lot of American people probably wouldn't. Although he played for the LA Galaxy for yeah. Okay.
People know Steven.
I'm trying to think of who else was I would have been Walter Payton.
Oh wow, Walter Payton.
Yeah, I grew up in Platteville, Wisconsin, which is where the Bears did their summer training camp. So, although I was not a Bears fan, I appreciate him.
Sweetness.
Yeah, exactly. And Jerome Bettis. Great. We'll bring it full circle. Jerome.
So you're gonna. So football is a different. No, Geico commercials is a different sport than football. You pick three footballers, one soccer footballer, and then two footballers. This always astounds me how hard this is for people to differentiate. Are you talking about Jerome Bettis?
Oh wait, I'm
Geico
sorry. Are you saying so? You're saying that it has to be three different sports? I'm sorry. I was too focused on like what is the intent of this? The three of these people. Oh, so
no
I just
intention.
Need to choose like a basketball player or a baseball player. Oh, George Brett. George Brett was my favorite baseball player as a kid.
George Brett, Walter Payton, Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating trio. I support it.
They're
okay.
Just the first three guys that came to my mind.
If you could have a Pez dispenser of any athlete that comes from your sports video gaming experience, who would you have?
Sports video gaming experience. Dennis Rodman from NBA Jam.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious. All right, great
Why?
Pick. And finally, Star Wars, but sports. I'm going to call out a Star Wars character using this random generator, and
mm-hmm.
you are going to tell me what sport that Star Wars figure would play.
Yes,
are you
please.
Ready?
I understand, yeah.
Okay. We are so close. Okay, here we go. I'm hitting generate. That one sucks. Nope, never heard of that character. Unless
you
gotta
say
Zam.
You got to say him out loud because I might know who they are.
Zam Wessel?
Nope, no idea.
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, what sport does he play? Curling.
Yeah. Why?
Because he thinks that he's awesome, but he's not. He's a huge loser, and he has a daddy complex, and he can't overcome it.
Hurry! Hurry hard!
Yeah.
Do you watch the curling Olympics?
No, I can't say consistently, but I do find it to be a really interesting sport. I'm not sure that I could watch a lot of it, but like it is like there is a great payoff when like the last stone is curled. You know what I mean?
It's
really
so
gratifying.
Yeah, I love it. And this last Olympics, it didn't catch fire in my heart the way I'd like for it to, but I'm a huge curling fan come Olympics.
Yeah,
time.
Well, you
got
to get some. You got to get that Katniss Everdeen in your curling life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's. I don't get that reference, but...
Oh, come on. Catch Fire?
Oh, yeah. That's a great, very oblique reference. Isn't it Catching Fire?
Whatever.
I mean...
Turning the... Fine. Get out of here. Come on. What's the next one?
All right. That's it. You have been interviewed, and now we're moving on to the feature. So because you love football, and because you have such a knowledge of it, generally when we hang out, we'll talk about the latest in football. Also, NWSL is happening on CBS. If you download the All Access, you can watch. And It's great. The tournament's about to start, or the tournament has been like, it's been like a 4-game playing thing, but they're about to do the knockouts.
Right. Explain to me their tournament really quickly. I'm sorry. I haven't seen any of the, is it like a Champions League knockout round?
Well, it starts with 8 teams playing 4 games each, and then that's just for seeding. They're supposed to have a 9th team, but they had to drop out because of a pandemic.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I have another question for that. So the 4 games that they're playing, are they playing in like group stages like you would at the World Cup at the beginning? It's like they're just arbitrarily choosing, or are they doing conferences? Is it based on their geography, or like it's just a drop?
I think it's all a drop of the hat. They just balanced everybody. And the Washington Spirit's my favorite team because Rose Lavelle, my sports crush, is on that team, and I just love watching her play. She's extraordinary, but they also had one of their star players get hurt, so Andy Sullivan. So now I'm worried going into the knockouts, but it's really fun. And anybody, like, come knockouts time, everybody should be all in. It's the playoffs, so yeah. I highly recommend watching it. Okay. All that being said, I wanted to bring you on because we always talk about films and we always talk about soccer. So I thought we would do this wacky game in which we build an entire soccer team using directors of films. And that's what we're going to do.
Okay, great.
First off, what formation do you sort of think your team is going to take?
Yeah, so that's actually a great question. I think it's difficult to say, right? Because I'm winging this, obviously, because I'm an improv comedy person. So I'm like, well, let's make it up. And I think part of that will come from me talking through what it is that the filmmakers do. And
I
can justify the form.
Yeah.
Right, because for example, if you're like, man, I've got one really big heavy hitter that's like a big brute of a person, you're like, great, maybe you should play 3 in the back and put that person in the center. So you've got a big, burly center back director. You got Michael Bay as your center back director. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like we should do a coin flip for this because...
Yeah, I think we should. Let's do it.
And do you think we should do a snake ladder draft style, or do you think we should just do it direct?
I don't know what snake ladder means, but let's do whatever you think is easiest.
It's 1-2-2-1-1-2-2-1-1-2-2-1.
I think we just do it direct because the truth is, like, I don't think there are so many wonderful directors that I'm not worried about us getting stumped. We can come up with 22. We're not going to get stumped. That's going to be fine.
That does
feel right. And perfectly interesting reasons as to why they deserve to be in whatever position they're placed.
Yeah, that sounds totally fine to me. I'm about to flip a peso. You have to say either one or...
Or eagle.
One or eagle.
Eagle.
Okay. It's one.
Okay. I can't see it, but I guess I'll just believe you.
You've got to trust me on that one. Okay. Now, this is tough because, like, do I go bold? Do I go surprising? Do I take a defensive midfielder out of the gate, like Spike Lee? I've taken Spike Lee with the first overall pick.
Okay, great.
I'm expecting him to play a defensive midfield position.
Okay.
But honestly, he's probably more of a winger this is going to be interesting. I'm not as good at talking about these aspects, but he has like an erratic nature that all fits and makes sense.
He's got a lot of flair in his filmmaking.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know what you're going to get from him.
He gets a lot of good music drops. He gets a lot of good sound cues. He does catch you off guard. He does a lot of sort of theatrical elements to his realism, which is interesting.
I think he's going to be an attacking midfielder, in fact. I'm taking it back. So I've got Spike Lee as the first overall pick. Nate, your turn.
Okay, wow. Okay. Wow, that's a good pick. Okay, so we did you sort of pitched me this idea the other day, and I'm going to go with this. Okay. I'm going to go with sort of a hard-nosed, old school I'm sorry. Is this are directors alive or dead?
Great question. Do you want to set any rules?
Oh, well, okay. I was just about to totally pull. I was totally about to just throw a Hail Mary, not knowing what I was doing, but the director
just do
was
it.
Dead.
It's your first round pick. We can discuss rules later.
Okay, great. I'm gonna take Orson Welles.
Orson Welles. Where is he gonna play?
Yeah, I think Orson Welles is actually going to be my defensive midfielder.
Yeah,
because physically as an actor and as a director, he was an imposing figure. He was a big dude and bigger in the end of his life, but he was also a big personality and big performer. He made really big, bold choices. But the thing is that his instincts as a filmmaker and as a director were right. And the thing that you need for a defensive midfielder who is like sort of your stopgap between the transition of attack and defense. He's like the last straw before the other team is just completely bearing down on only your defense. I think the thing that makes him really great is that his instincts were really good. Whether critics at the time of criticizing his films knew it or not, his stuff plays really well in the 21st century.
Okay, so I haven't thought at all about this.
No, yeah, we're winging it, right?
I feel very confident in my next pick, and I feel like, you know, he's not a first overall. Well, he could be a first rounder. If there were more people doing this, I feel like he might have gone in the first round. But I just watched Children of Men. And
oh,
sort
you
of lined
asshole.
Up. Yeah,
oh,
that's exactly what's happening.
Oh, you fucking asshole. I'm sorry. Can I swear? I didn't even
Yeah,
ask.
You can do whatever you want. Great. Like, I started lining up his whole filmography, and I was like, holy crap, man. I haven't seen his first film still, but I'm going to watch it. But Alfonso Cuarón is going to be my right winger. Talk about flair and flash and, like, just a devastatingly good, consistent player. Like, he's a Mohamed Salah kind of talent.
Yeah, he's a flair filmmaker for sure.
But I'm not putting
I mean
him at
striker. He made Harry Potter cool.
He made Harry Potter cool.
I mean if you actually watch all of those films, there is a marked difference between he did Prisoner of Azkaban, he did the third film, and you watch the first two and they're very sort of they're broad children's movies, and then he did a really great job.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't even mention the fact that it's like E2 Mama Tambien, Alpha, Gravity, Children of Men. Like, he's done an unbelievable. Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah. I couldn't be more thrilled because that's
Roma.
That
Netflix Roma.
Yeah, Roma.
He did Roma.
You ever heard of it?
Which is, unbelievable. Yeah,
he's good.
Dang, you sniped me, dude.
Yeah.
Oof.
I knew you would be thinking Alfonso Cuarón. My next pick, I'm going off the board totally for my next pick to let you back into this competition because right now I'm clowning you, but you got Orson Welles. That's fine. Let's
Orson Welles,
yeah.
He's pretty good.
I mean, it's going to line up well for you.
It's going to line up well for me?
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
here's what I'm going to do. Okay, here's the thing. It's like, I got to stop pulling punches here for a second. Okay, I'm going to do Kurosawa.
Oh, wow. Akira Kurosawa.
And I'm going to have him play my center back. He's going to be a center back.
That's a great pick.
I'm building the spine of my team.
We should also say this for people who are listening and like, I don't know what these people are doing. What one Kurosawa film would you recommend people watch tomorrow?
Ikiru. I-K-I-R-U. Ikiru. Yeah. So Kurosawa is known mostly for his samurai epics, which are unbelievable. Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, Hidden Forest. They're amazing. Run is a but I actually personally really like his character dramas, and there's a really great one called High and Low, which is a character drama about that juxtaposes class in urban Japan in the early 50s, right after World War II, which is an unbelievable film. But my favorite one is Ikiru. His camera movement is amazing. It follows a character who works as basically he's like he works for the city government, and I think he's like a tax auditor or something very banal, and he sits at a desk that has a bunch of papers, and It's not a spoiler, but very early on, he gets a very, very bad health diagnosis, and makes him realize that he needs to start living and mend some of his relationships in doing so.
This is Akira?
This is Akira. Yeah,
I've downloaded it. I'm going to be watching it soon. I started watching Chinatown.
Chinatown is also unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Going with my pick. So this is the director of Babadook. I need a center back. I want to make sure my defense is short up. I'm taking Jennifer Kent. And the reason is Babadook is amazing, right? Like, you can't mess with Babadook if you like scary movies, but it's more psychological. But her next film, which is just unbelievable, The Nightingale, it's so terrorizing and incredible. It's like one of the most disturbing films possible. But you are not going to come past our center line without being scared shitless that Jennifer Kent is just going to fuck you up.
And
that's what I'm all about. So Jennifer Kent playing center back. Who you got, Nate?
Okay, my the next one that I have right now are the I'm gonna get the Coen brothers.
Ah, I was just about to take them. I can't believe it.
Okay, so the formation that seems like I'm gonna be playing is obviously the same sort of formation that Liverpool plays, which is a 4-3-3, which involves a low line defensive midfielder and then two workhorse midfielders in the middle. And so I'm going to have the Coen brothers be them because I do see them as a workhorse team. They've been working together for 30 years and they put out a movie about every 2 years. And for us who have written screenplays before, know that that is an unbelievable feat to not only write the films, but get them financed, to get them shot, edited, and put out. Very impressive.
No small task. And so are you getting both of them and putting them both on the field? Or are you putting them in the same position?
No. I think that's a single... I think teams have to be a single position, right? Because otherwise you... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that their industry... Like this is a very industrious position in the football team. And I think the fact that they are able to hop genre so easily... their first film, Blood Simple, is a horror movie. So, and if nobody's seen that, you should absolutely check it out. It's unbelievable.
Just watched a couple weeks ago. Is that the one you would recommend? Because to me, the best Coen Brothers film is No Country for Old Men. But what would you say the single best?
Fuck.
It's a tough one.
Question. I think that that's the most plotted. Is that a correct word? Is that a word?
Oh, plotted is, yeah. Plotted.
Yeah. Plotted. No Country is probably arguably their best film. I think my favorite that I probably continue to rewatch is, it's so tough. I always go back and forth depending on the day, but either A Serious Man or Inside Llewyn Davis. I always pop between them because they're such sad characters. I have such a...
They're amazing.
I love but just sad characters.
I can't believe I thought you were going to say Fargo for sure. Fargo is just... It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, Fargo is a masterpiece. Fargo, yeah, you know what? You're right. In fairness, it's like Fargo is the one that I have probably rewatched the most. Yeah. But I think the one that I have a larger emotional connection to were those previous two. Fargo is just funny.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious to me.
It's hilarious. All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to take my left back. I'm going with one of my favorite filmmakers. Most nobody on this podcast has heard of this guy, but his name is Roy Anderson Anderson with two S's.
It's Anderson, isn't it?
Anderson.
Wait, you're taking Roy Anderson as your left back?
As my left back. Yes, he's older, but at least he's alive. I mean, honestly, I could weave through your pile of dead guys with no problem. But Roy Anderson is a Swedish filmmaker. He did my favorite all-time movie. It's called You, the Living, or if you're Swedish, Durvanda. And it is fucking...
Durvanda.
It is amazing. It's the greatest film. It's like a series of weird vignettes, and it's totally insane, but you'll be cracking up, and you'll just be like, man, this is such a weird, funny film. It's only an hour and a half. Everybody loves that. But as my left back, the reason I put him in left back is I want some wacky-ass creativity out of my left back. Like, who knows what he's thinking at any given moment, but all of a sudden he's going to spring across on you when you expected him to make a move, or he'll do a spin move or go between your legs, like literally his entire body, not the ball. So I'm pretty stoked about getting Roy Anderson as my left back. Okay, Nate, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to go Jean-Pierre Melville as my left back. Jean-Pierre Melville, a French Nouveau filmmaker. He was part of the French resistance against the Nazis in World War II and came out and became a filmmaker. Most notably known for Le Samurai, which is a film that is credited in creating the mysterious hitman, unspeaking hitman character, which we famously now see in movies like... Drive, that sort of really silent murderous character, any sort of like Leon the Professional. I mean, he talks a lot in that movie, but like the sort of like, I'm not talking, but I kill people. That was Le Samurai. That was like, he was sort of credited as the first doing that. However, that is a good movie. Army of Darkness is a very different film. That is Army of Shadows. This is Jean-Pierre Melville film about breaking out of a concentration camp in World War II. And that movie will change your life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm going with a... I'm trying to figure out what position to put this guy in, but he's probably one of the guys that if he makes a film, I will race out to see it. Maybe not if it's risking my life. But it's Steve McQueen. Whose movie Shame I just absolutely adore. He did 12 Years a Slave, but Shame is one of my all-time favorite movies. I'm just trying to figure out where to put him. I mean, would you think he's more of a defender and you're going to get like a solid thing? Because with Widows, he went a little bit off, like he didn't quite tighten the final bolt. So, but his creativity and like Hunger's incredible. I think he's probably... I'm going to put him as a second midfielder, but he's going to be more of a defensive midfielder. Steve McQueen. And he's British, you know? So that locks something down. All right.
He is British.
Who you got? Nate.
Okay, I'm trying to shore up my defensive line right now, and I'm going to choose the Safdie brothers for my right back.
Oh, my God. That's insane. The fouling, scary as shit.
Well, again, I'm sort of modeling off of Liverpool, my favorite team. Their right back is Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's young. He's fast. He's got a lot of flair, and he puts in a good cross, and he can hit you with a tackle. So I sort of see them as that. They are a jarring and tense watch.
Yeah, they will mess you up. I what do you think? I mean, would you say Uncut Gems is their absolute go-to?
I would say yes. They have another film before Good Time that I have not seen yet that's still on my list to watch. But Good Time's great, but Uncut Gems is a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece. People that aren't free... Here's what I recommend you do is take... take a handful of sand and put it in your butthole, watch Uncut Gems, and then you will get a diamond that you can then... Is it a pearl? It's a pearl. You might get a pearl. Hey, you might get a diamond. But I was actually breathless after I saw Uncut Gems. I saw it in a theater. So it was a screening. And I was like, holy... It was just... It's incredible. All right. Yeah. I never thought this would happen, but I'm about to take my striker. And we actually talked about this director, and I didn't think I would take this director at all. But I am going to take him because I actually realize he's exactly what I need at my forward position, and it's Taika Waititi, and he's going to be my striker. He's going to shock and awe. But I realize, looking at his films, like Boy is the one to watch. Jojo Rabbit's great. Yeah. Don't watch Jojo Rabbit twice, otherwise you'll go, But Jojo Rabbit's an incredible film if you see it once.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are great about Jojo Rabbit, even on a second watch. If you're looking at it for just looking for screenplay stuff, sure. The filmmaking is exceptional. Where he places the camera, how he tells a joke, those things are really... The production design, all that stuff is really impeccable.
Yeah, it is a great movie. But Boy, which you told me to watch... Yeah. Holy crap. Like, what a film. That one just blew me away, and I couldn't be more thrilled. Okay, Nate.
Okay, so this is a not controversial pick at all, and I'm choosing Bong Joon-ho for my remaining midfielder. Boom. Sorry. Got you, dude.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah. Speaking of jumping through genres, speaking of being a workhorse, I mean, he pairs so well on a double feature with the Coen brothers. Oh, my God. Like seriously thinking about the idea of watching The Host and Blood Simple, like, sign me up. You know what I mean? Like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Parasite and Fargo, right? That's sort of like a classist, a dark comedy, you know? Dude, bong. There's nothing I can say. Here's what I'll say with it. For anybody who has never seen the film Mother by Bong Joon-ho, not the Darren Aronofsky film, the 2009 film Mother by Bong Joon-ho, go see it. Is it about a rural South Korean woman who is trying to stand up for her mentally impaired son who is being charged with murder?
Oof, it is. That movie is fantastic. Yeah, dude. Like Parasite, for all its like perfection, like, you can go back through his films. They're really incredible. All right, I was going to pick somebody, but now I'm changing my pick in my brain. You don't know about this. But for my other center back, to pair with the one and only Jennifer Kent, I'm taking Jacques Audiard, the French director. And he did a film called A Prophet, which is just one of the greatest films you will ever see. It's like Safdie Brothers level of tension and extraordinariness. I'm going to spoil it very slightly and just tell you what it's about, which is not really a spoiler by that definition, but it's about a young kid who's like just turned old enough to go into prison, and he's thrown into this French prison, and lots of stuff happens, and it will, oh my God, honestly, it is so tense. He also did Rust and Bone. He did the Sisters Brothers most recently. But beat that my heart skipped. The guy's amazing, and he'll be an extraordinary center back. So I'm very excited to have Jacques Audiard on the team. All right, Nate.
Okay, so I've filled out my midfield completely, and I'm almost done with my defense. But I'm gonna snipe a quick one because I know he's gonna be on your list. I know you're gonna try and get him. I'm gonna take Barry Jenkins as my right.
Oh, damn it. I could have, as your right wing, I was going to take him as my left forward. I can't believe I waited on Barry Jenkins, but I wrote him down in a way that I wouldn't see him. He's one of my favorite films.
That was really silly of you.
I blew it.
I think that Barry Jenkins' filmography speaks for himself. I mean, he's such a brilliant and young filmmaker. Moonlight, I don't care what anybody says, is one of the best 10 movies of all time.
I agree. I think it's the best film I've ever seen. It's an absolute masterpiece, and not a second is out of place.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And you're putting him at right back?
No. I'm putting him as my right wing, my Mo Salah.
Ah,
right. My Lionel Messi position is Barry Jenkins.
You're Alfonso Cuarón, if you will.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay. So now you've challenged me, and now I need a new striker.
Sorry about that, friend.
No, it's okay. I'm taking somebody I didn't expect to take at this spot, because this is where Barry Jenkins was going to go. But I'm going to put another electrifying filmmaker who I'm very excited by, who I met and pitched my novel to based on one of his films. But I'm going to put Jordan Peele at left wing.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
I don't have a lot of Americans on this team, and I need more Americans. Get Out. Like, you can't. Like, I loved Us, but it can be...
That's how I felt about Us, the way that you felt about Jojo Rabbit, I think.
Ah, right. Yeah. Whereas, like, Get Out, I remember seeing that movie, standing up in the movie theater, and turning to my fiance and saying, that should get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, and it did.
Yeah, and that was March. Usually those movies get forgotten, but I was like, that really was like a perfectly made film. So I'm very excited to have Jordan Peele on the team. That gives me a forward. I just want to tell you my three forwards. It's Taika Waititi, centered between Jordan Peele and Alfonso Cuarón. That feels pretty shit hot to me.
You got a lot of Academy Awards there. I see the way that you build a team.
Yeah,
I'm not going to have as many. I'm going to have like one Academy Award.
Well... Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I don't have a lot of Americans. I'm about to Americanize my midfield if you don't take this director next, but we'll see what happens.
No, I'm going to take deeper cuts right now because they're more interesting than the ones that everybody knows, I think.
Okay. Let's find out.
Okay, so I'm going to take, mainly because this is a filmmaker that's sort of important to me. You know what? I'm going to put him in as my goalkeeper. I'm going to choose Ake Kaurismäki.
Wait, didn't you already take that guy?
No. I took Akira Kurosawa. Akira Kurosawa. Okay. Ake Kaurismäki is actually, I think, Danish. I always stumble between Danish and Swedish. It is broadly Northern European is his place of origin. And he's made, very recent history, he's made two films that really touched me. Le Havre, which is like based on the French port city, that follows a immigrant who is illegally stowed on a boat who gets caught by the immigration authorities and then escapes. And a older widower gentleman in this small French community takes him under his wing and provides for him. And it's very earnest. And then there is another film that's called The Other Side of Hope that explores the idea of Syrian immigrants into Sweden.
Okay.
Really lovely. Anyway, the reason that I'm choosing him and I'm putting him as my goalkeeper is because he's consistent. He's literally made like a movie every year since the early 90s. And he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's really earnest. He's a really earnest filmmaker.
That's Ake a great...
Kaurismäki.
I got no problem with that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take my left midfielder.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Greta Gerwig. I mean, Lady Bird, I think, is just an extraordinary film. And then you've got Little Women, which is awesome. And if you see that movie twice, the second viewing, you're like, oh, man, that was so fascinatingly put together and so well done.
What is the Florence Pugh line where she when she cuts her hair and she says, oh, your best attribute?
Oh, my God.
It's the funny. So funny. I laughed out loud. That movie is so funny.
It's so good. I love it so much. And I literally cannot wait to see what she does next, because she's a writer's writer. You know, like she writes
really is, yeah.
to a word, and she just writes beautiful dialogue. And I'm excited to see what she does next. So, Nate.
But in fairness, I would also say that she's a filmmaker's filmmaker, too. You know, like we can geek out about all the things that she does, too. Lensing and how she moves the camera. I think she's great.
She's amazing.
Okay, this is going to be a controversial pick. Okay, so, well, it's not. But I'm going to go with Gaspar Noé as my striker.
Ooh.
So the reason I'm choosing this is because of the ethos of what a striker could be in the game of football. So there is this cut of striker that happens in contemporary football, like a Diego Costa, right? Who is just a guy that sort of puts in an elbow. He's like a fly in the ointment of the defense. He never leaves you alone. He's constantly with you. He makes really bold, strong choices. It's aggressive and a little bit sexual. And so I'm going with Gaspar Noé, who is a filmmaker. He's an Argentine filmmaker who works in France. He made some pretty controversial films. Love is a very controversial film that he made, which is where the two lead actors actually perform. They really have coitus on film. There are no body doubles or trick shots. Like every other film love scene, they're actually doing it, which is a shtick. The film itself explores interesting things. But he did a film that I'm really obsessed with called Climax, which is basically a film about a dance troupe that is snowed in to their dance gymnasium, and shit gets weird.
That I saw that. So you've seen that, because I've seen the trailer,
yes,
and
I saw that
looks like it could be terrible or fascinating.
I was enthralled. I was on the edge of my seat at every moment. The dancing in the film is unbelievable. His camera work is immaculate. Like, the choices that he's making are unbelievable. And the thing is, like, it's constantly tense. It's like a Safdie levels of, like, tension here.
Yeah. I'm probably going to watch it now. All right, I'm going to take my goalie next. What I want here is somebody that I know is going to deliver something that absolutely destroys me. In the best possible way. So it's not like who is that? David James, the guy who just lets the ball roll through his legs. But somebody who's like so stable and so I don't know how I'm saying this, but Mike Mills is my goaltender.
Sure.
He did Beginners, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, and 20th Century Woman.
Yeah, Mike,
that movie I watched on an airplane.
Yeah.
And I was
so sorry that was your first experience for that film.
Oh no, I was crying in a way that was like uncontrollable. It's really quite incredible film, and I love it so much. And I just found out that he did a movie called I Am Easy to Find, which I didn't know existed, so it doesn't seem. Oh, it's a short film. So now I have to watch that 30-minute film, and I cannot wait. Nate, this podcast is a problem of always going long. That's why just going to bring on for the second half.
Yeah, but, I'm sorry. I definitely not help. Okay, so I need to choose a center back and a left winger. Okay, right. I'm going to choose, man, you already got, okay. I'm going to choose Sofia Coppola as my left winger.
Excellent choice.
And a lot of people, oh, great, thank you. A lot of people actually don't sign up for Sofia Coppola, and I think that they're wrong. Virgin Suicides, that's, man, that movie is so funny.
Oh, really?
It's so funny. Rewatching it... it's so funny. It's just there's such a tinge of dark humor in there, and I really love that movie.
I need to watch it again.
A ton of other great films too, but Bling Ring, Lost in Translation. I mean, Marie Antoinette. You know what I mean? Like she can just keep making movies. She's great.
So I'm just gonna tell you where I'm at with my final pick, which is my right back. Which I was going to take the Norwegian filmmaker Joachim Trier. He's one of my all-time favorites. He did a movie called Reprise, which will fucking blow you away. Like, Reprise is sort of like the epitome of the Sports Anomaly podcast in a film. It's very funny and like hilariously funny and also clever in a way that you can't imagine, and then has like this undercurrent of darkness and sadness, just like this podcast. Extraordinary and amazing.
I know,
but also
so dark, so sad.
Yeah, so dark. I mean, it went dark when you almost took the memorials or the monuments. Oh wait, they ended up winning. But yeah. But then I was like, do I take Joachim Trier? Do I take Ruben Östlund, who did Force Majeure?
Square. Are you just gonna list off a bunch of directors before I get to choose my last one?
No, I'm just saying who I'm thinking about. But because it's my last pick, then I'm sort of talking you through it. And then I thought Damien Chazelle, who's done Whiplash, which is one of my all-time favorite films.
Yeah.
But then he...
La La Land.
I love La La Land, but it's not, And then the astronaut one,
First
which
Man.
Is fine.
Is that right? First Man?
Yeah, First Man. So Chazelle's out. Man, I just love Norway, and I love Norwegian film. So I'm going to take Joachim Trier as my final guy, because Reprise is equal to me to Whiplash. It might even be ahead of Whiplash.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's my final pick.
Well, great. Then that means I get to choose Ruben Östlund as my final pick.
Wow. And to play what position?
Center back.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, slow. He's
I think
deliberate.
He can do it. He's slow and deliberate. You're right. He's like the Marcel Desailly of center backs. Okay, final pick. We get to take a manager, but you have to take an actor that has appeared in one of these people's films. That's all I'll say.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
Man, that's a good pick. Oh, that'd be interesting. Man, this is tough. Just hang with us, people. This is fascinating. Okay, who are you going with?
This is
going
to be so nerdy and only cinephiles are going to, because I had to look it up to remember how to pronounce his name correctly. But his name is Toshiro Mifune, and Toshiro Mifune was basically, you know how Martin Scorsese has done like 5 films with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Toshiro Mifune is Akira Kurosawa's DiCaprio. He's Scorsese's De Niro, early De Niro. This dude was in High and Low. He's in all the samurai movies, and he plays the biggest badass in all of those movies.
Oh, wow.
I'm choosing him because if you actually just see his sort of catalog of work, he was in like 400 movies. You know what I mean? It was just like a workhorse of a dude back in the 50s and 60s when they would shoot a movie a day. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable. He actually just had his 100th birthday a little while ago.
Because I've got so many Europeans, my whole defensive line is European. I've got Steve McQueen up front, Taika Waititi, who's a New Zealander. We got Alfonso Cuarón, who's Mexican. I only have 1, 2, 3, 4 Americans on the team. So I need a European presence, I think, or a foreign presence. I don't want this team to get sucked down the coronavirus hole that our nation is. So I wanted a foreigner speaking as an American. So I'm going to take Saoirse Ronan. First of all.
Oh, great call.
Who knows if I've even said her name, her first name right. And
she doesn't even know.
Yeah, she's charming. She's smart. She's clever. She has great range. She's in movies that I love. I'm excited by her as an actor and more excited by her as a football manager. I just think she's Irish. She's going to lay shit down.
She gets it.
I feel good about her.
Yeah.
Okay, Nate.
Yeah.
Tell me your front line. Match your front line against my front line. I've got Jordan Peele, Taika Waititi, and Alfonso Cuarón.
Sofia Coppola, Gaspar Noé, Barry Jenkins.
Wow.
I mean, you got Powerhouse Academy Award winners. Like, I diverted a little bit from that strategy to be like some loosier, goosier, like sort of.
No, I feel that you're saying your team isn't as good. Greta Gerwig, Spike Lee, and Steve McQueen in my midfield.
Yeah, that's really good, but also Bong Joon-ho, the Coen brothers, and Orson Welles.
Okay, I'm going to give you the midfield, but I've got...
Yeah, you got the forward line.
I got better attackings, but you've got a dominant midfield.
It's pretty good.
Okay, and then my defensive line is Roy Anderson, Jacques Audiard, Jennifer Kent, and Joachim Trier.
Ooh, dang, that's pretty good. Jean-Pierre Melville, Akira Kurosawa, Ruben Östlund, and the Safdie brothers.
Ooh. Man, I got to say, that's a very... I'm going to call it a draw. I would kind of give you the edge. I think I'd give you the edge because the Safdie brothers is such a clever, surprising...
Yeah.
I feel... Yeah, that's... I'm going to give you a very, very slight edge. Literally a hair. And then for goalie, I've got Mike Mills. Who do you have?
I have Ake Kaurismäki. I mean, people know who Mike Mills is. Nobody's ever heard of Ake Kaurismäki. Except for the Criterion Collection. Go watch it now, please. He's an amazing filmmaker.
I mean, but that I also give a toss up because Mike Mills, nobody's heard of, but people have heard of him.
Like, no, I don't think Mike Mills, people have heard of. Yes, you're right. But more people have heard of Mike Mills than people have heard of Ake Kaurismäki.
That is true. I mean, but he's not Spike Jones. I didn't take him, you know, which would have been a great pick for one of us at some point. But
I know. I can't. Spike Jones is one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. I can't believe I didn't choose him.
Yeah, nobody expected that. I'm just going to go through some filmmakers we didn't take that kind of surprised me because I'm just looking at lists of them. But nobody.
I mean, now we're going to be like, oh god, I can't believe I didn't. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Jane Campion didn't make a team.
Oh, yeah.
Gina Prince-Bythewood especially after the Old Guard, she could have gotten a look. Lorraine Scafaria, she's great. Dee Reese. Lynn Ramsey? Are we kidding?
Man. Mariel
Heller? Ava DuVernay? Did you take Catherine Bigelow? No?
No. Well.
Man. Okay, so we whiffed out a few.
Wait,
there.
You didn't know Agnes Varda either out there? Was that you were just doing female directors just then?
Yeah. Ryan Coogler, F. Gary Gray. Tyler Perry would have been a fascinating pick.
I know. That would have been a great pick for
defense. That would have been a great pick.
Consistency.
Lee Daniels. I'm trying to find... okay, then let's look at David Fincher. I can't believe I left him off my team.
Yeah, but also in fairness, we chose people that we thought were going to work for our sort of teams and our positions. Yes, we should have Ingmar Bergman on here. That's crazy that we didn't do that. However, we also didn't do like Spielberg. We didn't do Michael Bay. Yeah. We didn't do like huge so Fincher's not on the list. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. But here's like Scorsese, Spielberg, right? Tarantino. Right. I mean, I would have expected one of Christopher
Nolan. I wrote Tarantino down and then immediately crossed him out.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Christopher Nolan is a pain in the ass, but he's still... I mean, David Lynch could have been a real great option.
Yeah.
David Fincher is the one that I'm shocked. But Wes Anderson, you're a Wes Anderson kook.
Wes Anderson fan. But the thing is, watch Ake Kaurismäki films, and then you'll see why I didn't put Wes Anderson on there.
Right. Guillermo del Toro would have been a great pick.
Yeah, Linklater, absolutely. I thought about Guillermo.
Yeah.
I like Linklater.
Terrence Malick, I would have loved to have him as my goalkeeper. I would have traded out Mike Mills for Terrence Malick if I could make
it. Yeah, you should have.
Werner Herzog would have been hilarious.
Right,
justifying his presence. This is one thing, and we're almost done with this, but the one pick I was going to make early, but then I panicked and realized you were probably going to take Quaron. I forgot to go back to him. But Buster Keaton would have been a great something.
Oh,
but yeah, he's a calamity in center defensive
oh
back.
Oh, my gosh. But he would be a great midfielder. He's a workhorse. All that dude did was, from the moment that he came out of the womb, was fall hard.
Yeah,
and
it's
really
true.
Well, dude, that dude's so funny. He's such a great film. Watch any Buster Keaton movie; it still holds up. Same with Chaplin and Lloyd. You know,
It'd be interesting to see a team that had like took all the people we didn't and like had a Boots Riley on their team.
Oh,
or a Gugu
yeah.
Mbatha-Raw. Like, wait, is she a director or is she just an actor? Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Maybe I'm saying an actor when I'm thinking, has she directed? She's an amazing actress.
You know what would be really interesting, too, to do one that's like freshman and sophomore directors? You know what I mean? It would be interesting to do a list of men and women that have only done one or two theatrical released films. Like, you know what I mean? They're like Lulu Wong would be on there, or like Matty Diop from The Atlantics would be there. And there would just be a really interesting list of filmmakers that have only made one or two films. Because it's very easy for us to be like, yeah, Akira Kurosawa should be on my team. You're like, yeah, of course he should, Nate. Like, that's cheating.
He definitely should. It is. That's why your defense was so stalwarty. And I was like, well, we can't mess with that defense. That's pretty good. There's so many great people, obviously, that we have not selected.
Yeah, of course. I mean, maybe the answer is just watch great films from great filmmakers. And I think it's great that a lot of our filmmakers, I think the majority of both of our teams were not American. So
yeah.
I think that's probably good.
Yeah, that's that speaks to us. Nobody took the dude who does the movies, you know. Ryan Johnson, I would have liked to have taken, and I forgot.
Yeah.
So I will say that's on me. All right, that's been our podcast. Let me wrap it up with, I guess, a recommendation from you. It's the Netflix Minute. What's one movie or TV show you would tell people to watch this week, besides the 19 films they have to watch based on that?
Yeah, the 19 movies
soccer
that I already
team.
Said. Okay, there's two things that I'm watching right now that I think are really important. Both of them are on HBO, so I'm sorry that it's the Netflix Minute. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm watching Perry Mason. It's really great. But the thing that you absolutely should watch is I May Destroy You. Michaela, and I might pronounce her name Cole, I think is her last name. Michaela Cole series. It's a very personal series. She created a TV show called Chewing Gum for Netflix that was hilarious. Chewing Gum is a hilarious TV show. Watch that. But also watch I May Destroy You. Okay, I'm done.
That's great. I'm going, watch Chinatown if you haven't. And if don't let anybody know you're going to watch it, because I think I got a bit of a spoiler. And I know it's coming.
You didn't want to put Roman Polanski on your soccer team?
I kept away from. I mean, if there's anybody who's going to produce more than Woody Allen, you know.
Oh,
for a team,
yeah, yeah. You want consistency in filmmaking, Woody Allen. Yeah.
But I'm not going to. I'm trying to go anti-pedophile just generally.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
lifetime.
If I'm being totally honest, I feel like there's a moment where somebody's going to say Gaspar Noé did something. There's no the type of films that he makes. There's no way that dude's not a creep.
Yeah. Oh, this is one thing I wanted to do at one point of it, was I was going to make us each give each other a player that had to be on the team to be a disruptive force. I forgot to do it in the end. I got too caught up.
That would have been really funny. I would have made Michael Bay be your goalkeeper.
That's what I was thinking. Bay would be the perfect player
to force
on somebody. Yeah. What a turd. Like, you could be like gross and weird about it and make it Woody Allen, but Michael Bay is a hilariously terrible person, bad filmmaker to put on the team. Real quick, the Patreon Power Hour, patreon.com/sportsanomaly. If you come, you can give us $5 if you want. If you can't, at least I always say this, and I always say that I always say this, but at least go look at the pictures for each tier on our Patreon. Nate, you will love them if you go to patreon.com/sportsanomaly.
I love pictures.
But we have somebody that just dumped a ton of money on us, but I forgot to mention them because they haven't told us what to call them on the podcast, and I want to assign a segment to them, a la Perfect Tommy, Breaking News by Perfect Tommy. Nate, thank you so much for joining us. Leave us by screaming a line from a movie that you've heard of.
A movie that I've... My sister, my daughter!
Ha ha ha.